This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. It's just after 12:30, actually coming up to 12:32 here in the studio. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Jeff Sundu,
Arvind Yuvraj,
and of course our producer is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine. If you've missed any part of the show so far, you can download the podcast, of course, wherever you normally download it from. We are on Spotify as well. The question we're asking today, is freelancing the future for millennials and for everybody else? Is it the new chosen career path of the future? Do let us know. We have polls running on both Instagram and on Twitter. And if you'd like to get in touch to join the conversation, 018-789-8899. Now, it is that time of the day where we have a little update from the KLCI, courtesy of Arvind.
Mm-hmm. It is down by 0.24% by 1,549 points. Active stocks include Binasad Communications, ARB Berhad, and Air Asia Group Berhad, all up, by the way. And a quick look at the ringgit, it is at 4.13 against the US dollar.
Thank you very much, Arvind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Indeed.
That's...
He's getting good at this, right?
Yeah, I know. Born for this.
It's almost like he knows what he's doing.
He could do this freelance.
Yeah, he could do this freelance. I'm not sure how many contracts he'd get, though, or how often. Whilst we're on that, though, we, of course, have some feedback. We've got a couple of WhatsApp messages, a couple of tweets that we'd like to address. Let's go with WhatsApp first, Jeff.
Yeah, so Rose says, oh, freelance payment, tell me about it. I once had a client who sold mobile phones who asked me if they could actually pay me with a mobile phone instead of a check. I replied, okay, if I could go to TNB and if they accept it as payment, then fine. Another one, number ending with 7939 says, lack of social status in some societies, moving up the career ladder is still perceived better than working as a freelancer.
That's true. Yeah.
This, I think, is an age thing. Yeah. I don't think this applies for like millennials and Gen Zs. Not as much anymore, at least.
But I think maybe in some cultures still, maybe
Japan, Korea, perhaps.
So in certain cultures, maybe the young ones feel at the moment, oh, it's different. But I think when they grow older, I think then they will also look at it like, working freelance is not as good as maybe you working in a corporate field where you can climb up the ladder and be a chairman.
I mean, that's changed in the perception of things as well. I mean, it used to be about, getting that very nice suit and having that corner office and all of that kind of stuff. Now it's like, I can't wait until I'm rich enough to be able to wear jeans and a t-shirt at the office.
And when you wear like a jeans and a t-shirt, people look at you with envy. They're like, wow, that's how you dress to work. Right. It's so nice, so comfy kind of thing. Yeah.
Over to Twitter.
We have one from Sharina who says, I'd been in the workforce for many years, IT industry, and being positioned in different parts of the world and work closely with people of different time zones over conference calls. Technological advancement would push us forward. It is a trend, not by choice. And then we have one from Walid who says, some countries are already aware of this and started giving freelance visa for foreigners. Malaysia is still in the tail.
Mm.
Interesting.
Okay.
Freelance visa.
Story number two.
Yeah, so a video from the BBC's archives in 1989 has resurfaced, showing what futurists predicted homes would look like in the year 2020. And now, the show was called Tomorrow's World. Richard, does this ring a bell?
It used to be my favourite TV show.
Really now?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, so it was presented by Christine McNulty. It's a tech forecaster who has since written two books on the future of technology. So various predictions was made here, and I thought it's best to perhaps share with you some of these innovations that was explained. So have a listen to this first clip.
What are going to be the biggest changes in our homes by 2020? Will the house of the future protect the environment? And what new technology do researchers think we'll be living with? Well, we've been talking to some of the people who've been thinking about the home of the future. Christine McNulty.
I started the Home of the Future project to find out what people will want from their homes. They'll want all the benefits of modern technology, but without all this cluttered and complex gadgetry that we have today. They'll want homes that work for them. By 2020, all of this will be possible. We'll have things under control without all of these knobs and buttons.
Firstly, though, I think all of my tech talk shows needs an intro like that, like mm-hmm. like Tomorrow's World's intro. I think that is just super cool. Like
and a very British voice.
We'll work on that one. We'll work on that one for 2030. But I think, you know, those intros really throw memories back, right? Yeah. It's even in the early 90s, you know, there were a lot of shows that had those kind of impactful intro with like the 10 seconds of just a music background going on. And it really sets the stage of what you're going to experience for the next 20 minutes of that news piece, right? So that's very cool. But one of the first things that Christine, the presenter of that show, said was that we want homes to work for us. We want things to be under our control without the knobs and buttons. Rich, how's your home like in 2020, Rich?
Not many knobs and buttons. I can tell you that I have one remote control. Having downgraded from about 3 or 4 just a couple of years ago. But yeah, it's...
You've got Google Home Assistant.
I've got Google Home Assistant.
Voice Assistant.
I've got Voice Assistant. Mm-hmm. I've got streaming TV. I've got streaming radio. My lights switch on via my Google Assistant. Oh, yeah.
How many connected devices do you have? Like, actually, like a rough figure. Like, how many units do you have? Like, connected to each other?
A few. Yeah. 7, 8, 9, maybe.
So, like, you know, it's interesting because 1989 was a time when, you know, this is still a far-fetched dream, right? To have, to be able to speak to something and then for it to understand. It's still very far-fetched. So, you know, kudos to a lot of the researchers who probably, you know, raced to get this done, because the speed of how we've come to being able to use Google Homes to, you know, just walk in and tell Google Home to do certain things and certain tasks, it was only in the last like 5 to 6 years.
It was literally my childhood dream, you know, of being able to walk into a home and say, can you switch on my lights, please? And, you know, can you play my radio? That was literally it.
Speaking of lights, let's carry on. Next clip.
And what's more, the technology itself will be embedded in the very fabric of the house and its furnishings.
So the idea is, once all the clutter of technology has gone, you'll be able to furnish your rooms in any style you like. You won't actually be able to see the technology, but it will be there, doing its job without getting in your way.
That means the lights automatically switch off and on as you walk between rooms. And the home learns how bright you like them. A simple command gives you music, perhaps piped in from a sound library. Bark, please. And no more PowerPoints. Plugs become pads, picking up power from anywhere on the wall. And even windows will take an active part in the home, according to another researcher, David Button.
So, lights switching on and off as you walk into your home, checked.
Yep.
Sounds or music playing as you asked for it, checked. Mm-hmm. No more PowerPoints. Now, this is a... I don't know. Like, so we're miles away from this, but what he's trying to say is that there are ports where there's like a pad, like, where it will get, you know, the power from the power source itself, but you just have to sort of like, you know, get onto that pad and then you could sort of use it. Now, wireless charger is somewhat that, you know?
Yes, you know, halfway there.
Yeah, the Qi wireless charger. Mm. So it's some, you know, even Apple was, I think they were planning to announce or were supposed to announce or going to announce, I don't know what it is, but they're supposed to announce like this, you know, pad where you can just put your phones, your iPads, everything will be wirelessly charged. You can find them online anyways, right? So we're kind of like there, and I know there's some research that's being done looking into how we can step into a room that can be then just charge the devices automatically. We've spoken about this on BizBytes before as well, right? So walls that can be turned into windows or windows that can be turned into walls. Now, that's very creative, and I think it's only something the mega rich have these days, where, you know, you have this sort of like a liquid device that it could just kind of like, you know, become transparent when you flick the switch on, and when you flick it off, it becomes like a wall.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's still far away in terms of the mass reach. So, you know, hopefully we will see that in the near future. But now this next bit is actually very relevant in today's climate. So time to rewind back to 1989.
But there's one area where homes are going to have to change.
There will have been enormous pressure on us to cut down on our burning of fossil fuels to protect the environment. This means that energy management in our homes will become of critical importance.
There are already materials that can help. This honeycomb material is being used on the outside of a building in Strathclyde to heat it,
by trapping the energy in diffuse daylight as it hits the walls. And aerogel, this is aerogel here, is a form of glass with a similar structure at a microscopic level. It can do the same job, but it'll be thinner and transparent. And if these two things become widely used by 2020, the coatings could one day reduce heating bills almost to zero and help to cut down our use of fossil fuels.
The other key is for the home to use more energy more intelligently. The heating system could learn your daily routine and only heat the rooms that you'll be using. The living room would be at just the right temperature as you come downstairs.
It's still a battle until today, right? So yeah, we're not living that dream just yet, but that is a really nice dream to have. So, you know, fossil fuel reliance is still very much, I guess, you know, on the high. And we're still trying to find a way where we can reduce the emissions. And I think, you know, the target is like 20% by this year. So, you know, we have to see. But I guess like if for those like who are thinking about the future homes of the next 30 years from now, it'll be really good to make that as the priority itself, right? So making our homes to be environmentally friendly and sustainable and using less energy or using energy more intelligently and relying less on fossil fuels, using maybe the power banks and stuff like that, right? So, you know, that would be my dream because, you know, we got to think ahead. And they've thought about this in 1989 and yeah, they've already had those technology, but it was just really expensive. But we've not seen so much progress. So I just say we got to ditch our 8K TV dream and just, you know, start going back to Sketchabot.
Well, you've made me feel both nostalgic and old in one entire talk set. And we'll soon be speaking about millennials and Generation Z, just firmly stamping along. And our next song is The Truth Hits Everybody from The Police. I don't know how to wrap up here. Ladies and gents, of course, we are talking about whether or not freelancing is the future of employment. Let us know what you think via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with our final story, all about Starman and the Tesla Roadster, the mystery of where he is. We'll be back. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.